Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Jack Kelly, Director of the National Weather Service. Well, Jack, in this third segment, let's talk about managing the weather service. I know that one of the goals of the weather service is to provide seamless information about weather and water and climate and things like that. How are you working towards achieving that goal?
The very fact that we have a goal of a seamless suite, it tells you that we've reached a point with science, and Weather Service is, in the final analysis, a service organization, but a service organization that's based on science. We use science to develop our weather forecasts. And the one really exciting thing that's happened in the science world is the disciplines of climate prediction, oceanography, hydrology, and weather are all merging together. And so we are now able to issue forecasts from a minute, an hour, out to seasonal. We just a few months ago, about 6 weeks ago, released our first, which will be in a series now, of a drought outlook. Because of the research that has been done, and the proven skill that we now have in our ability to forecast months ahead, we were able to work with the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Interior and issue a 3 to 4 month outlook on what we think those areas of this country which are going to experience drought, and they were particularly in the southern tier of the states and in the nation's heartland. So when we talk about a seamless suite, we're talking about the organization that can tell you is there going to be a tornado in 11 minutes or 12 minutes from now is the same organization that can tell you 3 to 4 months in advance what we think is going to happen. Next week, we'll issue our second, we did it for the first time last year, our second hurricane outlook, where we'll talk about what we expect in terms of numbers of hurricanes and tropical storms this hurricane season. So that's less of a management challenge than it is the fact that science has now given us the ability with skill to do that. So that's what we're trying to do with this organization. Another thing that we're trying to do with the organization is citizens of this country are fascinated with weather. And if you doubt it, the April issue of the New Yorker magazine had a story about weather. Scientific American published a special segment. The entire issue was devoted to weather. The Weather Channel has 800 employees, about give or take a few. I think it's about 800, maybe 700 to 800 employees, and their job in life around the clock. They talk about weather. So the citizens of this country are interested in weather. I tell our employees that the citizens of this country don't want any surprises. So that's why we have adopted as our vision to try to become America's no surprise weather service. And so the challenge is from a technical point of view to alert people to what is going to happen such that they're not surprised when it does occur. And we've come a long way. This is a year of anniversaries if you think about it. This is the 100th anniversary of the Galveston tornado. The Galveston hurricane. As a matter of fact, when I said the American population is interested in weather, there's a popular book out called Isaac Storm, all about the Galveston hurricane. We knew there was a storm out in the Gulf of Mexico, but nobody knew where it was in the Gulf of Mexico. We've come a long way since then. I don't think there'll ever be another Galveston where the hurricane just comes in and it totally surprises everyone. You can contrast Galveston to Floyd last year. And Floyd did a lot of damage, brought a lot of precipitation, but no one was surprised that Floyd was moving up the East Coast. A lot of people were surprised when, at the turn of the century, last century, when the storm hit Galveston, that it hit. So from a managerial challenge, the issue is technical, how we use technology. From a managerial side, the challenge is we're a government organization. How do you balance The American citizens' desire for more products against the fact that there's only a finite number of resources. And so how do you maintain what you're currently doing and find ways to issue new products in essentially a budget neutral environment where growth is not quantum growth in my budget. So our real challenge is, I keep saying it in a very inelegant way, how do you make the best use of the stuff you have? How do you add new products without an infusion of massive amounts of new dollars? And so we're constantly looking at how we use the current systems we have, how we get some efficiencies and economies out of them so we can add new products. Just this past year, we've introduced a relative host of new products. We issued last year a drought monitor where you can go on the internet now and we'll show you where drought is occurring across this country. And we give you a short-term forecast, about a 10-day forecast. As I said, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, we came out with the drought outlook. We're going to start on the 1st of June issuing a product which I'll call an extreme heat event. We're going to give you an outlook weeks in advance of where we think there's going to be combinations of very high temperatures and high humidity. So people will start getting aware of the fact that this summer there may be heat waves impacting, and it is in particularly importance to the big cities, because heat tends to kill people when you get these big heat waves. So we've added that. We've just worked with the FAA and added a new forecast product in an attempt to try to reduce delays associated with thunderstorms as you fly across the country this summer. We've done all of that without any new money for any of those products, because we've looked at how we could better organize the way we're doing things and generate some efficiencies.
Well, let me ask about that organization and the link with technology. When the new computer system was implemented, AWIPS, the Weather Service was restructured. Can you tell us about that restructuring?
The Weather Service has been on a 10-year path of modernizing and restructuring. The modernizing was bring new technology on board. The restructuring was, let's create a smaller number of more capable forecast offices. And the restructuring was essentially the part of closing 164 forecast offices and replacing them with 121 more capable forecast offices. And the net gain is, depends on how you look at it. The net change will be we will close 164 forecast offices. We have closed 148. We're in the process of getting congressional agreement to close another 7. We have 9 more to go. So they really are the very contentious ones. And there's an honest disagreement on the remaining ones as to whether or not the system we proposed will or will not degrade forecast support. We believe it won't. There are the citizens who say it will, and we're in a process of working our way through those 9. But by any measure, closing 148 federal offices is quite an accomplishment.
In your strategic plan, you talk about changing the Weather Service's organizational culture. How are you approaching this cultural change?
The first way I'm approaching it is to learn that it isn't dictatorial. I've come in and I've said we do need to change the culture. What I am trying to do is get teams together. You might call them integrated work teams. Call them what you want. We just did a strategic plan. I didn't write that strategic plan. We had the union. We had employees. We had management. We had teams working to, and we also brought in academics, and we brought people in from the private sector to help talk about where we ought to go. So we've had a bottoms up input into the strategic plan. We spent time clarifying our mission. We spent time trying to articulate what values the organization holds important. So we've got mission clarified, values stated, strategic plan, and then we've each year I enter into an agreement with my bosses in the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration on an annual operating plan, which I've then had my regions develop an annual operating plan with me. So at the beginning of each fiscal year, my regional directors and I sign an agreement. This is what they're going to deliver. Just like I sign an agreement with my superiors, this is what I'm going to deliver. And then I've taken excerpts out of the operating plan and put it into the performance plan of all my senior executives. And then, as I've said a couple of times earlier in this organization, try to take decision-making and take it away from Silver Spring, the headquarters, take it away from the corner office on the 18th floor, put it in my office directors, put it in my regional directors, and put it in my forecast offices, and let the meteorologists in charge, the hydrologists in charge, be more involved in the decision making. So, I mean, we're trying to make it a learning organization, try to make it more participation.
Great. And we'll be back with more of the Business of Government Hour.